Imagine a Fortune 500 company's IT department. Just, picture it in your head.
Right. You're probably picturing, what, hundreds of engineers?
Exactly. Hundreds of engineers, massive server farms, layers of middle management, and just a thoroughly bloated budget.
Yeah, a massive footprint.
Right. But what if I told you that exact same level of operational power is right now being wielded by a tiny four-person family business?
Oh.
Yeah. And they're running it off a local hardware cluster.
I mean, that completely shatters the traditional business model. We are we're moving away from this era where scale required a massive physical headcount.
Right.
And we're going straight into an era where scale simply requires, exceptional digital architecture.
And honestly, that is our mission for today's deep dives. We've got an inside look at this really fascinating stack of internal documents, website specifications, deployment blueprint.
This is from Consultancy in Action, right?
Yes, exactly. Consultancy in Action, or CIA for short.
Right.
We're going to unpack how their founder, Sandy Sehgal, and this tiny, what I call a deep stack team, how they don't just sell AI strategy to their clients, but how they hyper-optimize their own internal operations.
Yeah, they use tools like a Dream Engine, which sounds incredible.
I know, right? Dream Engine, custom agentic operating systems, autonomous background workers. It's wild.
Which, makes this a perfect real-world case study of human-in-the-loop AI.
Human-in-the-loop. You hear that buzzword constantly.
Constantly. But here we actually see it executed, It's the concept of deep human expertise directly guiding these highly automated machine workflows.
The machines do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. The machines do the heavy lifting, but the humans set the strategic trajectory.
Right. But I want to pump the brakes before we get too deep into the tech, because the human element here is what really caught me off guard.
Oh, definitely.
You look at Sandy Sehgal, the founder. Sandy isn't your stereotypical Silicon Valley startup founder, just wrapping a sleek interface around a generic chatbot to make a quick buck.
No, not at all. Sandy has a doctoral level applied research background.
Right. And the detail in their profile that really demands attention is Sandy's past experience doing supervisory work for algorithm systems.
Yeah, systems deployed in a national legislature.
A national legislature, like meaning government-level AI deployment.
Precisely. And, when you're deploying algorithms that could potentially impact national legislation or public policy,
the stakes are huge.
Huge. The tolerance for error or bias or data leakage is zero.
Wow. Yeah.
You have to deeply understand systemic risk, compliance, and just really strict architectural strategy.
Which explains the DNA of CIA.
Exactly. They are incredibly cautious. They are absolutely not subscribing to that old move fast and break things philosophy.
Right. It's more like move fast and build heavily fortified resilient systems.
Exactly.
Okay. But let me push back on this setup a bit.
Yeah.
We have Sandy handling strategy and architecture. Then we look at the rest of this so-called small team, deep stack.
Right. The other three.
Yeah. So you have Alex May, head of IT, leading these proprietary rollouts with cool names like Hermes and Paperclip.
Uh-huh.
Then you have Joe Sehgal, head of relationship management, bringing 27 years of high-value client care. And Rune Sehgal, handling marketing, branding, UX.
Notice a pattern there.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Sandy, Joe, Rune. Three of the four share a last name.
So if I hear four-person family business taking on Fortune 500 level deployment, my immediate thought is
massive single point of failure.
Exactly. If Sandy gets the flu and, takes a week off, does this whole highly sophisticated architecture just collapse?
And that is the traditional vulnerability of a mom and pop shop. Absolutely.
Right.
Historically, small businesses hit a ceiling because their operations were entirely reliant on, the limited labor hours of a few key humans.
Yeah, there's only so many hours in the day.
Right. But what these documents reveal is that when your labor force is digital, automated, and deeply documented, that ceiling and that single point of failure, it largely disappears.
Really? Just goes away. Pretty much. The AI agents maintain the operational continuity. So it allows them to keep the tight, high trust communication of a family unit, but amplify it with the relentless efficiency of a machine.
That is fascinating. Human in the loop AI, the way we build it, that's their motto, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you would think a team built on strict legislative AI governance would be, highly protective, cautious, closed off.
You would think so, yeah.
But they actually use that exact same rigid data-first psychology as a weapon to hunt for clients. Let's look at their lead generation.
Oh, page 13.
Yes. We have their actual website build specification for what they call page 13. It's their AI readiness assessment.
And honestly, this document should be required reading for anyone in B2B sales.
Seriously.
It's just an absolute masterclass in behavioral psychology and automated data capture.
I was blown away by the explicit design intent here. The spec labels their strategy as the sunk cost reveal.
Yeah, that's a great term for it.
So to set the stage for you listening, the front end of this tool is built using Next.js and Tailwind.
Right.
For those who aren't developers, Next.js is basically the high-performance engine powering the website's logic, right?
Exactly.
And Tailwind is the paint job. It makes the interface look sleek, responsive. So a potential client lands on this beautiful, fast page offering a free 3-minute interactive questionnaire
to calculate their AI readiness score.
Right. And notice what is missing from that initial interaction.
Yeah, most enterprise websites throw up a massive wall immediately.
Right. Enter your email to download our white paper.
Exactly. It creates instant friction and bounce rates just skyrocket. But CIA doesn't do that.
No. They let you start playing the game immediately. It totally reminds me of doing a complex Sunday crossword puzzle.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Right. You spend 30 minutes figuring out all the clues. Your brain is fully engaged. You finally piece together the last word. You are invested.
You're committed at that point.
Exactly. But when you go to click submit to see your final score, a tiny box pops up saying, enter your email for the results.
Yep. You've already done the work. You are desperate for the payoff.
And that is the sunk cost fallacy, beautifully weaponized.
Weaponized, yes.
I mean, by the time the user hits CIA's email gate, they have thoughtfully answered 21 detailed questions about their business.
Right.
The results screen is literally rendered on the page with the score, say, an 85 out of 100 already calculated.
But it's blurred out.
It's visually blurred out, yeah. Mm-hmm. The effort is spent. The reward is agonizingly close, but it's locked.
It's brilliant. Mechanically, this materially lifts completion rates far beyond demanding an email up front.
Absolutely. And they are also ruthless about the legal compliance of this data capture.
Oh, yeah, the UK GDPR stuff.
Right. They adhere strictly to it. Unticked consent boxes by default. They even have a protocol to soft block free webmails.
Wait, soft block? How does that work?
So if you try to use a Gmail or Yahoo address, the system doesn't flat out reject you, which would, you know, ruin the user experience.
Right, you just leave.
Exactly. Instead, it gives a gentle nudge asking for a corporate email. It relies on the legal concept of legitimate interest to deliver the report.
Which loops right back to Sandy's legislative background. They do not take risk with compliance.
Not at all. But, you know, the true genius of this assessment isn't just the user interface.
Yeah.
No, it's the mathematical weighting of the scoring algorithm itself.
Okay, yeah, let's pop the hood on that algorithm. Yeah. So the assessment grades a company across 6 categories.
Right.
You've got strategy, technology, people, and governance. Those are all weighted at 15 points.
Uh-huh.
But 2 categories, data and knowledge management and process and automation readiness, those are weighted at 20 points each.
Yes.
Why penalize a company for their data storage methods more than their actual technological hardware?
Well, because it reflects the brutal reality of AI implementation.
Yep.
The spec document states it plainly. It says clean, findable data is the number one predictor of AI success.
Wow, number one.
Yeah, think about how a large language model actually functions. It recognizes patterns in data.
Right.
You could purchase the most expensive, cutting-edge enterprise AI suite on the market. But if your company's proprietary knowledge is scattered across random desktop folders or buried in PDF stands.
Or just like living exclusively in the heads of your senior staff.
Exactly. If it's just in people's heads, the AI has zero material to process. It's basically starving in a desert.
So having the best AI but messy data is like, it's like hiring a world-class investigative journalist, but locking them in a room where a million unorganized documents have just been dumped in a pile on the floor.
Yeah.
They can't do their job.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to look at it. And the second heavily weighted category, process readiness, exists for a similar mechanical reason.
Okay. What's that?
The document notes documented repeatable processes are what agents automate.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. If a human employee cannot physically write down the step-by-step granular workflow of their daily tasks, an AI agent cannot replicate it.
Right, because agents don't improvise well.
No, they execute instructions. No instructions, no automation.
I want to highlight a brilliant twist in the spec regarding administrative hours, too.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
During the profiling phase, the questionnaire asks the user, how many repetitive admin hours does your team spend per week?
Yeah.
Now, a user might proudly say 0, or embarrassingly admit 200, but the spec strictly forbids the algorithm from using this number to negatively impact the readiness score.
Yeah.
Why would a company drowning in paperwork not be penalized?
Well, because a high administrative load does not indicate a lack of readiness. From CIA's perspective, a high admin load signals a massive, immediate opportunity for return on investment.
Oh, wow.
Right. If a company is bogged down in manual data entry, they are the perfect candidate for AI intervention.
That makes total sense.
The system actually calculates that potential ROI to tease the client on the blurred results page.
Right. The blurred screen says something like, businesses like yours typically recover 150 hours and 40,000 pounds per year.
It is an irresistible hook.
So irresistible. And here's where the back-end magic happens. The moment the user enters their email to unblur the score, a webhook is triggered.
Yes.
And for those unfamiliar, a webhook is essentially a real-time digital tripwire.
That's a great way to put it.
Instead of waiting for a system to manually check for new leads, the webhook instantly fires a packet of data the millisecond the button is clicked.
And that tripwire sends a direct message to Sandy via Slack or Telegram.
Right. Which means the lead generation isn't just capturing an email.
No, it is delivering a comprehensive diagnostic report.
Wow.
When Sandy walks into the initial consultation call, they aren't asking discovery questions. They are holding an X-ray of the client's business.
They know the data is messy and the governance is weak before the client even says hello.
Exactly. It's a phenomenal machine.
Okay, so we've got this slick Next.js front-end gathering leads. But how does this tiny team actually code and build these massive back-end infrastructures internally?
Right. This brings us to their unified agentic OS integration guide.
Okay, yeah. This is where we transition from standard web development into true deep stack capabilities, right?
Exactly. This internal guide is their blueprint for using Claude Code, which is an advanced AI coding assistant, to orchestrate their local hardware cluster.
I am going to need you to translate some of this for me, because I'll be honest, my head was spinning when I read the source material.
Sure, it gets pretty technical.
What exactly is an agentic operating system, and what is the specific technical problem of context isolation they are trying to solve here?
Okay, let's break down the mechanics. When a development team uses multiple autonomous AI agents, imagine one agent tasked with generating Python code, another agent running tests, and a third agent rating documentation.
Okay, got it.
These agents naturally operate in silos. They do their specific job, but they don't inherently possess a shared awareness of what the other agents are doing in real time.
Okay.
That lack of shared awareness is context isolation. An agentic operating system is a centralized architectural layer designed to bridge all those disconnected raw processes into one unified environment.
I think of context isolation like this. Tell me if this tracks.
Go for it.
Imagine you hire five brilliant Michelin star chefs to cook a complex tasting menu. But you blindfold all of them.
Oh, that's good.
One is aggressively chopping onions. One is searing a Wagyu steak. One is reducing a delicate sauce. They're all producing incredible output individually.
Right.
But because they can't see each other, the sauce gets poured on the steak 10 minutes before the steak is actually cooked.
No.
It's chaos.
It is total chaos, exactly.
So how does the agentic OS actually take the blindfolds off technically?
To solve this, CIA directs their AI to build what they call a visual intelligence layer.
Okay.
Mechanically, this is a local web dashboard that continuously monitors the physical file system on their hardware.
So it's watching the files.
Yes. It tracks and renders any file asset created by the local agents, HTML files, cost breakdowns, terminal logs, directory paths in real time. So by having a persistent visual state of the disk, the human operators and the AI agents maintain a shared reality.
But the truly fascinating part is how they instruct the AI to build this architecture. They use a strict protocol called the intent check prompt loop.
Yes, the intent check.
Before the AI is allowed to execute a single command or write a line of code, the human operator issues a mandate.
The prompt in the document literally dictates, it says, mirror back your understanding of this implementation plan. Flag any missing interdependencies. Do not proceed with building until I explicitly verify your summary response.
That is wild. The validation metric they use internally is zero lines written before explicit approval.
Zero.
They are treating a hyper-advanced AI like a junior intern. Like, tell me what you think I just asked you to do before you touch the keyboard.
And that extreme caution is absolutely necessary because of a phenomenon known as context drift.
Context drift. This is fascinating. To me, it sounds like a high-stakes game of telephone.
It really is.
The AI misunderstands one tiny nuance of your prompt. Okay. And based on that misunderstanding, it writes a function. Then it writes another function based on the flawed logic of the first.
It compounds.
Right. By the time it has written 1,000 lines of code, the final software is entirely unrecognizable from your original intent.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it. And, you know, when an AI goes off the rails and hallucinates thousands of lines of useless code, it doesn't just waste time.
What else does it do?
It wastes a massive amount of computing power and money.
Which brings us to the most staggering statistic in this entire stack of documents.
Oh, the tokens!
Yes. By using this intent check loop and their specific architectural setup, CIA claims an 86% reduction in context tokens blown.
86%.
And an 82% drop in operational API spend.
It's unheard of. And to understand why those numbers are so revolutionary, we really have to look at how AI economic models work.
Okay, let's do it.
When you send a request to a large language model, you pay for compute power based on tokens. A token is roughly 3/4 of a word. The AI doesn't read a file like a human skimming a page. It mathematically processes every single token to understand the context.
So if you have a massive software project with hundreds of files and hundreds of thousands of lines of code,
yeah,
and you ask the AI a simple question like, where is the login button color defined?
Uh-huh.
Traditional setups feed the entire code base into the AI so it has the context answer.
Exactly. It is the equivalent of paying someone by the word to read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica every single time you want to know the capital of France.
Oh my gosh. So your API bills, the cost of accessing the AI servers, they just absolutely skyrocket.
They do. They spiral out of control.
So how on earth does a small team achieve an 86% reduction in that token spend?
They use a mechanical masterstroke. It's a tool called CodeGraph.
CodeGraph, okay.
Instead of blindly feeding the AI the raw text of every file in their workspace, they force the AI to utilize a structural mapping engine.
What does that mean exactly?
CodeGraph analyzes the local directory and creates a lightweight map of the nodes and their interdependencies. It charts out how file A connects to file B without actually needing to read the internal contents of file A and file B.
Oh, wow. So they don't hand the AI the entire encyclopedia.
No.
They just hand it the table of contents and the index.
Precisely. The AI references this structural map to understand the architecture of the software. Because the map is text-light, it costs a fraction of the tokens to process.
That is so smart.
Right. When the AI determines it actually needs to edit a specific file, it knows exactly where to go on the disk without having to ingest the entire universe of code first.
It is an incredibly elegant, lean approach to software engineering.
It really is.
And I have to point out a tiny detail buried deep in their deployment logs that I just loved.
Oh, the test file.
Yes. When Alex and the team test the sync speed of this visual dashboard to ensure it's updating in under 500 milliseconds, they test it by modifying a dummy file.
Beautifully named, too.
Brilliantly named. DanaWhiteInvoice.html.
It's hilarious.
It is a great reminder that behind all this intense Fortune 500 level architecture, there is still a small team with a sense of humor.
It definitely grounds the material. But, you know, if the agentic operating system is how this team optimizes their complex workflows while they are awake at their desks,
right,
we really have to examine what happens when they log off.
Oh, absolutely. If the agentic OS is the day shift, what happens on the night shift?
Exactly.
This brings us to the final and arguably most futuristic piece of their operational blueprint.
The Dream Engine.
The Dream Engine. I love that name.
That's a great name. And the Dream Engine is what they call their automated asynchronous analysis system.
Okay.
On a purely technical level, it is a lightweight background script executed via local cron utilities.
Okay, let's clarify what a cron utility is for the non-engineers listening.
Sure.
A cron job is simply a time-based job scheduler embedded in operating systems.
Yep.
You are basically setting an alarm clock for your computer, telling it, run this specific script at this exact time every single day without me having to click anything.
Yes. And CIA has scheduled their Dream Engine to execute every single morning at precisely 4:00 a.m.
4:00 a.m. So the humans are asleep.
Past asleep.
What is the machine doing at 4:00 a.m.?
It is systematically scanning and aggregating the digital exhaust of the previous day's work.
The digital exhaust?
Yeah. The script pulls all the raw terminal history, it looks at the system errors that popped up, and it reviews all the day-to-day chat outputs between the human developers and the AI coding assistants.
Wow. It's actually evaluating its own resource consumption.
Exactly.
It looks at all those API calls and token spins we just talked about, hunting for redundant processes or platform optimizations. And then mechanically, it compiles all of this data into an easy-to-read morning briefing and pushes it straight to that visual intelligence dashboard we discussed earlier.
Right. So the result is that when Sandy, Alex, Joe, and Rune log on to their computers in the morning, the system has already audited itself.
That is incredible.
It has found its own inefficiencies, flagged potential bugs, and prepared a neat summary report of everything that happened while the humans were offline.
It is exactly like having a dedicated night shift factory foreman.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
Right. The foreman walks the floor at 4 a.m. when everyone else has gone home. They sweep up the scrap metal. They review the security tapes from the day shift. They notice that assembly machine number 3 is running a little hot and using too much electricity.
Yeah, catching all the little details.
And before the morning shift arrives, the foreman leaves a neat, bulleted summary note right on the boss's desk.
Yep.
This just proves that this small team isn't really just 4 people. It is 4 humans acting as the strategic directors for an autonomous digital workforce that grinds 247.
Right. The humans remain in the loop, providing the governance and the validation, but the AI is the tireless engine driving the execution.
So let's pull all these threads together.
Let's do it.
We started by looking at Sandy Sagal's deep background in high-stakes legislative AI governance.
Right, which proves that to do this correctly, you need serious architectural discipline, not just a casual interest in prompt engineering.
Exactly. We then explored how they weaponized that discipline psychology for client acquisition.
Their page 13.
Yeah, their AI readiness assessment uses the sunk cost reveal and real-time webhooks to capture highly qualified leads, utilizing a brilliant algorithm that rightly prioritizes clean data and documented human processes over pure technology.
Because data is everything.
Right. Then we looked under the hood at the mechanics of their build process. The unified agentic OS uses a visual intelligence layer to cure context isolation.
And they force the AI through an intent check loop to prevent context drift.
Yes. And they use code graph mapping to slash their token compute spend by an astonishing 86%.
It's still hard to wrap my head around that number.
I know. And finally, the dream engine. Silently aggregating logs and optimizing resources at 4.0 a.m. via automated cron jobs. So the team wakes up to a perfectly organized operational briefing.
It is just a masterclass in modern efficiency.
It really is. And it leaves us with a fascinating and, you know, maybe slightly terrifying thought to chew on.
Oh.
Throughout modern business history, we have assumed that enterprise-grade efficiency, automated global lead generation, and custom OS analytics, we assume those were the exclusive domain of massive tech conglomerates.
Oh, for sure. You assume you need a skyscraper full of 5,000 employees to achieve this level of operational maturity?
Right. But consultancy in action proves that assumption is dead.
Completely dead.
With the right deep stack skills and a firm grip on AI governance, a tiny group of 4 people can wield the operational power of a multinational corporation right from a local hardware cluster.
It changes everything.
It really does. So I'll leave you with this final thought. Look at your own daily workflows. If you had a dream engine running tonight at 4:00 a.m., what messy, context-isolated parts of your job would you want it to make sense of by tomorrow morning?